It's in Jesus' name. Please be seated. There was a nun who was working for a local home health agency, and she was out making her rounds when her car ran out of gas. And she looked up the street and saw that there was a service station, so she went up there and asked the attendant if she could borrow a gas can to put some gas in her car. The attendant said, "Well, I just loaned out my last gas can, but you're welcome to stay and wait if you'd like to." She said, "Well, no, I'm kind of in a hurry." So she went back to her car and rummaged around in the trunk and found a bedpan. So she walked to the gas station and filled the bedpan up with gas and came back to her car. And as she was slowly pouring the gas from her bedpan into her gas tank, a couple of guys walked by. They saw what she was doing. One said to the other, "Man, that's what I call faith." Well, I'm going to talk about faith this morning. And, of course, our lessons really focus on the importance of faith, and especially true in the book of Hebrews. Certainly, as we look at the book of Hebrews, we recognize that faith is really the key element in the Christian life. And faith is something that everyone has. Buddhists, for example, put their faith in the Eightfold Path to Enlightenment. Muslims put their faith in the Five Pillars of Islam. Christians put their faith in Jesus Christ, who they say is the unique Son of God who died for their sins and rose again. All of us believe those things are true. And certainly we stake our futures on it, but it's faith nonetheless. And not one of us has absolute proof. This might surprise you, but atheists have faith as well. They operate in the belief that there's no creator, no moral law, no higher moral law, no divine judgment, and no afterlife. They can't prove any of these things, but they believe them nonetheless, even though many in the world, look at the evidence that we do see, which points in a different direction, and human experience as well. Therefore requires an even higher level of faith on the part of atheists. So everybody lives by some kind of faith. That is, a belief in actions that are based upon something they consider trustworthy, even though they can't fully be proved to be true. Usually their beliefs run pretty deep. So faith is not belief. For example, I can believe that this pulpit would hold me up if I were to come into it. But until I actually walk into this pulpit, I'm not exercising faith. So many people believe things, but they don't really have faith. And so it's important for us to exercise faith. There was a farm community in Nebraska many years ago that was having a terrible time of drought. Their crops were drying up. They were really in desperate situation. And so even the atheists were praying at that time. And so the ministers got together and they decided they were going to have a giant rally at the local fairgrounds. They invited everybody in the county to come and bring an article of faith that represents their faith to the fairgrounds. And so people came from all over with articles of faith. They would bring a candle or a cross or a rosary beads or something like that. And so the ministers got up and they began to preach, and then they had some singing and times of silent prayer. And after a while, people began to feel drops of rain coming down. And everybody was filled with great thankfulness to God, so much so that they held up their articles of faith and thanksgiving to God. And as the ministers looked out over the crowd, they noticed that there was one unique article of faith that nobody else had. And that was a 9-year-old boy had brought an umbrella. Evidently, he was the only one who really believed that their prayers were going to make a difference that day. So faith, it really is important in terms of our lives. Turn, if you will, to our second lesson in your bulletin from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 on page 5. And here we see a definition of faith. Definition of faith. It says this: "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." The Amplified Bible says this: "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." The Living Bible puts it this way: "What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that we hope for is what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it ahead. Now look at verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. So there are many people today who believe that the universe just kind of happened by chance. It just kind of all came into existence. But in reality, science has proved that matter is not eternal. And so matter had to come from somewhere. Matter couldn't just have happened on its own, because nothing can't create something. But ultimately, Christians believe that God is the one who created everything out of nothing. And that's what Scripture tells us. So as we look at the creation around us, we realize that there had to be a designer behind it. There had to be somebody who is responsible for bringing all of this into existence originally. The writer goes on to describe faith, the faith of many of the great Old Testament saints, the patriarchs. Look at verse 13 and 14. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. So this is how the Old Testament people were saved. They believed in the God who could save them. They put their faith in God. They were looking forward to the coming of a Savior, the coming of a Messiah. They were looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, even though they didn't know that that was who was going to come. And so they put their faith in God's plan of salvation. And that's how the Old Testament people were saved. And so when they trusted in God, He gave them the righteousness, the salvation that they were longing for. It says Abraham believed in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so when we talk about the salvation that comes to us, we're talking about putting our faith in God. Now I'm going to talk about two meanings of the word faith today. Certainly the first meaning is a content of belief. So, for example, in a few moments we're going to be saying the Nicene Creed. We're going to be saying a statement of our faith. This is what we believe about God. The faith is really the specific doctrine and moral teaching of Christianity. For example, Jude chapter 3 says this: I felt compelled to write to you and urge you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. So the faith was given to us through Jesus Christ and through the apostles. And so as we look for the faith, we're looking to that which the teachings of Christ and his apostles, which we find, of course, in the pages of Scripture. Sincerity and personal belief and the height of spiritual ecstasy are not enough. We have to believe correctly. Jesus had said that it was the truth that will set you free. We shouldn't be surprised and offended at this insistence on correctness. For example, we want our doctors to be correct, not just sincere. At the same time, I like what former Archbishop of Canterbury William Temple said one time. He said, quote, "Faith is not the holding of correct doctrine, but personal fellowship with the living God. Doctrine is of an importance, too great to be exaggerated, but its place is secondary, not primary. I do not believe in any creed, but I use certain creeds to express, to conserve, and to deepen my belief in God." End quote. More often, the word faith means personal trust. When we have faith in God, we're trusting in God. We may not always know the details in the present or how the future is going to work out, but we know that if we trust God, things are going to work out in the way that is best for us. The old adage states, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. For example, we're to trust God, have faith in God in the area of healing. It's not always necessary to believe that a specific thing will happen in order for it to happen. There's a dangerous twisting of the concept of faith in some parts of the Christian church today. According to this teaching, a person must have 100% certainty, with no doubt whatever, that a specific thing will happen. For example, if you go up to our prayer ministers at the end of our service today, and you believe 100% for sure that when they pray, your shoulder is going to be healed, then you're going to be healed. But if you have any doubt, then you will likely forfeit that healing. What a dangerous and incorrect teaching. First, many of the people that Jesus healed were not healed because of their faith, but because of the faith of others. For example, you might remember the story of the paralyzed man who was lowered down through a roof to be taken to Jesus so that he could be healed. He was lowered down because of the faith of his friends and Jesus' ability to heal. As Michael Boggan, the once Bishop of Chester, England, put it, it's not necessary to have great faith in God. What is necessary to have faith in God, who is great. Sometimes all we can muster is a cry. I do not know if you'll act, and if you do, how you will act, but I'm asking you to help, O God. I'll let you go to work and have your way with me. Canon Mark Pearson said in his book on Christian healing, often all God needs is our letting Him, even though we may be clouded with uncertainties. The greatest faith statement anyone can make is not a statement of cocksureness, but of one of, I trust you with the details of my life. Have your way, O God. But if 100% certainty on the details is not necessary, there still must be a trust in the God who has the power, the inclination, and the ability to heal us, however and whenever that help will come. Otherwise, there won't be any personal investment in prayer, in listening to God, in doing our part as we ask Him to do His, and in cooperating with Him as He remolds us into His image. The apostles of Jesus said to Jesus one time, increase our faith. The father of the demoniac boy said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's the position in which many Christians find themselves today. So if you want your faith to grow, let me make a few suggestions that might help. First of all, study Scripture. You're not only going to see what proper doctrine and belief is, but also you're going to see how God dealt with countless people over the centuries. We learn much about who God is and how much He can be trusted. Paul says in Romans that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and as we get the Word of God into our minds and in our hearts, it begins to affect changes within us. Secondly, read church history. Read about the stories of how God has worked in the great saints throughout the history of the church. You might also read Christian biographies, which testify about how God has worked in the lives of many individual Christians. Third, hear the testimony of others who can testify in present times about how God has worked in their lives. Sometimes we can hear testimonies on the internet of people who have been touched by God or who have had an experience with God. Sometimes we can hear our friends talking about how God has worked in their lives. Testimonies can be a powerful way of increasing faith in people. Certainly I remember hearing the testimony of an Episcopal priest by the name of Dennis Bennett, who talked about how he came to faith in Christ and how he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And as I heard that testimony, faith rose in my heart and allowed me to be able to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. So testimonies can be a great way to increase our faith. And fourth, you might look at the evidence of what God has done in your own life. I used to keep a journal in which I wrote down all the things that God had done for me and all the answers to prayer that I had seen and other things that God had spoken to me and things like that. And as I go back and I read that, I am reminded of things that God has done for me in the past that has caused faith to rise in my heart. So there are a number of different ways that we can have faith growing in our lives if we just put our minds and our hearts to it. I want to conclude with a prayer asking God to increase our faith. So would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, as we recall the steadfast faith and hope in God that so many of the great cloud of witnesses displayed in Hebrews chapter 11 and elsewhere, we pray that we too may follow their example and place our entire faith in You. May we develop an ever-deepening trust in You, knowing that Your Word is faithful and true. May we be nourished by the Word of God day by day and be refreshed with rivers of living water that stream into our hearts from Your Holy Spirit, so that whatsoever we do will be pleasing to the Lord and glorify His name. Thank You that in Christ we have been forgiven all of our sins and delivered from the power of sin in our lives, and may we pass on a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to our children and children's children, or to any children over which we may have any influence, so that in the next generations a living trust in God may be their witness to the world, and faith in His Word may be a testimony that will also pass on to all their children. Keep us standing firm in the truth of God's Word that has been delivered to us by our Father in heaven, once delivered to all the saints. And keep us steadfast and true in all that we have learned of your grace and mercy, so that our lives may demonstrate an ever-deepening love for you until that glorious day when we are all taken to be with you in heaven. We will be known as we are known. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.